Well, good morning. It is Thursday, November the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. I want to wish today my father, John David Walt Sr., a happy birthday, November the 21st. And just give blessing and honor and all of that. Speak that over his life. He is a great man of God and has been and evermore shall be. So happy birthday, Dad. I love you. Let's begin this day with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Abba, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Abba, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Now Moses used to take a tent on finding a place of prayer outside of the camp. Our text is Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. Now Moses, hear now the word of the Lord. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Don't you absolutely love this text? Here are seven things I love about it. Number one, Moses created sacred, designated space for prayer and gave it a name, the tent of meeting. Have you ever created this dimension of space for prayer? Would you consider it? Number two, anyone could go there if the purpose was to, quote, inquire of the Lord. What a great phrase. Our prayers, or maybe I should say my prayers, tend toward asking God for many things, but how often am I specifically inquiring of the Lord about the matters of my life? Our times, the curiosities of our circumstances, and the puzzling dilemmas of our days. It's a weakness for me. Number three, this tent was set apart. It was, quote, outside of the camp. I picture a steady stream of people coming and going to do business with the Lord. It reminds me of the prayer mountains that the South Korean church is known for. I see this as different from the prayer room in my home. It requires a deeper intention and more decided action to go outside of the camp. Notice how the text not only tells us it was outside of the camp, but that it was, quote, some distance away. Now, if you have an extra few minutes today, I'm going to cite several scripture texts I'd love for you to run down and, and see their common thread. Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, Luke 6:12, Luke 22:41 and 42. You'll see a very interesting theme emerging there. Number four, Moses modeled this practice not in order to be a model, but because it was the very source of his life. When people saw it happen, it arrested their attention, and they rose to their feet. The witness of true holiness is palpable. Everyone knew that Moses' holiness did not come from himself or his practices or even his prayer life. It came from the Lord who abided in the cloud. Number five, verse 11 must be one of the top 10 most profound texts in all of the Bible. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. In those days, this kind of privilege was beyond rare. Unheard of would be more like it. For us, this is the common gift of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Now hear this, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's John 15:15. The problem is not that it is common, but that we take words like these so casually. To the extent we are not utterly stunned and blown away by texts like these, to that extent, we remain asleep. The good news is awakening is ever near to the wholly discontented who will come to grips with this. Number six, when someone, anyone, lives into and out of an authentic friendship with Jesus and really gives themselves to him and that friendship, it becomes a clarion call to worship to thousands and ultimately millions. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. Notice how even now, thousands of years later, this story awakens something deep within us, inspiring us to rise up and worship this God. And then number seven, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The people in our lives are always watching, taking note of the things we can take for granted. From time to time, the Lord will entrust us with a young aide, a Joshua type, who will not only pay attention, but will seem to double down their focus on what they glean from our lives. We get a glimpse here of spiritual parenting, and there is an absolute dearth of it in our time. It's no one's fault. The reason most of us aren't coming alongside younger believers is because no one came with any intention alongside us. What we need is a generation who will step forward as first-generation spiritual parents, who will step out of their comfort zone and stumble awkwardly at times into a new kind of relationship. It would be easy now to press hard on the need to go and create a new and special place of prayer, a tent of meeting somewhere, some distance away, beyond your house. And maybe if we lived in the days of Moses, that would be in order. But we live in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the age of the Holy Spirit. It leads us to this breakthrough implication. I am the tent of meeting. You are the tent of meeting. We are the tent of meeting. We don't need to go and make the tent of meeting to be some physical structure somewhere other than here. Places matter and structures are good and fine, but they are not the point. Because Jesus' body became the curtain, our body and our bodies together become the most holy place, the very dwelling place of God, the tent of revival, if you will. I think what I'm trying to say is everywhere we go, we carry the tent of our physical body with us. That is the meeting place. That said, sometimes, it was often for Jesus, we need to walk the path some distance away and outside of the camp to host the tent meeting. Are you reading me, friends? You and I and us together are mobile tabernacle houses of prayer. If we can make this shift from a tent of meeting being some physical structure outside of us to the tent of meeting being our very bodies, the implications will be mind-blowing and far-reaching. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I receive your deliverance from my casual sleepiness in prayer. I also receive your deliverance from striving harder after a deeper prayer life. What I want is to receive your deliverance into your way of often withdrawing to lonely and out-of-the-way places to abide in friendship with God. I am a tent of meeting, Lord, a place where we can meet together face to face as a person talks to his or her friend. Lord Jesus, it is such a marvel that you would call me friend. Forgive me for neglecting our friendship. I don't mean to. Awaken me again in yet a new way to the depths of friendship with you. What could be better than that? It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 The journal prompts today. Which of the 7 points speaks to, encourages, or challenges you the most today? Or is it the unnumbered 8th point, that your body is the tent of meeting? What are the implications of your physical body being and becoming the tent of meeting with the Lord? And then how might it help you to go beyond the camp to host the meeting? We're going to sing in a minute, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We've sung it this Exodus journey, but it's fitting to sing it again. It's number 440. In our seedbed hymnal, our great Redeemer's Praise, 440, Sweet Hour Prayer. We'll sing that in just a minute. Just a couple more brief comments here. You know, Jesus, in John 1, where it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word there is tabernacled, okay? Jesus became, was the tabernacle of the presence of God. Now, what we see in him, he intends to see in us. He's showing us what it looks like when a human being is a tabernacle for the presence of God. As Jesus was in this world, so are we, 1 John tells us. And so everywhere he went, it was like, you know, in another place, he's like, one greater than the temple stands next to you. You see, the thing we're still stuck in, I think I said this maybe yesterday, the thing we're still stuck in is we're stuck in the gravity of the temple, the construct, the building, the structure, the physicality, the it is somewhere else mentality. We're stuck in that gravity still. In the new covenant, the tabernacle is the human body. Jesus shows us that perfectly. And he intends for it to transition to us, his body, the church. Our bodies together as a living sacrifice, and then our bodies scattered out in the world. Everywhere we're going, we're a moving tabernacle of the presence of God, able to meet with him at the drop of a hat. When we seek the Lord in his temple, we're seeking him deep in the inmost being, the place within us, the holy place. I think you're reading me here. But guys, this is not coming naturally to us. We still want to think, you know, it's somewhere else and it's a building and the presence of God is like in the air, in the house where we're singing. And no, he's in us. He's in the people. I'm getting a little exercised here, I know. I'm just saying, guys, you're the tent. I'm the tent. Yeah, it's good to get out beyond the camp regularly. Find a place where we can set up the tent of our body and invite the Lord to draw near and for us to draw near to him and to have that meeting. Let's just kind of ask the Lord to sanctify our imagination to see it, to see reality as it most truly is. This is what Scripture is revealing to us. Well, let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 440. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. That's a good hymn. It's really something that we're singing together, isn't it? Some days I just can't believe I'm singing hymns online. I've had people tell me lately, you need to start a Spotify channel and put all your hymns out there. I'm not sure about that. I'm not a singer, friends. I'm a worshiper, doing my best to stay on key, keep the tempo up. It's so good to to be with you this morning on this Thursday. Yep, it's my dad's birthday. I'm so just proud of him and love him so much. Wanted to just alert you. You're going to be getting an email, I think, maybe today. Maybe it'll come later, maybe next week. I'm not exactly remembering when, but I know that my dear friend, our leader of Seedbed, Ivan Philby, is going to be sending you a correspondence, sharing with you about our closing out of the year and our what they're calling the abundance appeal. It's an effort to participate in the fundraising, the fund receiving. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the difference in fund receiving and fundraising. Well, we're about fund receiving. So just be alerted to that. That's going to be coming your way. Be prayerful about it. Give as your heart prompts you, as the text said. We're talking to the Lord about what we're hearing Him call us to, and sharing those opportunities with friends like you. Well, let's call that a morning. Grab your seeds, friends. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.